Well, we had done some discussions about mentoring, so we're going to take a break from what we were working on, talk a little bit about mentoring, what mentoring is and what it can do for you. So I just want to talk about that with you guys tonight. A mentor is a friend that guides maybe a less experienced person by building trust and modeling positive behaviors. An effective mentor understands his role is to be dependable, engaged, authentic, and tuned to the needs of the mentee. Now you think about that for 1 minute. We're going to put that on the back burner and come back to that. In 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, "The things that you have heard from me and the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." He says, "The things that you've heard from me and the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So the key to mentoring isn't necessarily to be awarded of anything, but rather to share direction, wisdom, confidence, and hope to others. It's not to achieve anything. So if you look around, you see the mentors that are here to work with each and every single one of us on a daily basis. They're not here for sordid gain. They're here to share maybe wisdom that they have or encouragement that they have to impart to you hope for your own future. And that's the mentality of the mentor. So what is faith-based mentoring about? Faith-based mentoring is about sharing Jesus Christ with the world so that they can move forward. Amen. And we're going to talk about that. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "Having so fond affection for you, we are well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives." And here's the deal. Why is a mentor, you know? Why is a counselor a counselor? Why is a pastor a pastor? You think about 9 times out of 10, a mentor is somebody who's already been there and been through that, right? They've been there, they've done it, now they're looking back to pull somebody else out of the mud. I know that that's absolutely accurate in my case. And I can tell you that as a life mentor, as far as faith is concerned, there's not a single one of us that didn't walk the walk without faith at some point in our life and then come to the realization of how beneficial it truly is. Amen? Right? Ask some of these guys that have been around a while to look back. Go ahead, Ed. You got something to say?
Not only walk it, but then lose it and then come back to it.
Amen. Thank God for being patient, right? Right.
When my wife died, I prayed myself out, and I couldn't even remember the Lord's Prayer. And I learned that when I was 5 years old, and so I went my way.
And I think that each and every single one of us could have a strong testimony of the different things that we've been through that led us to where we are today. And we can only be thankful for God's patience, you know, in that retrospect. But he says here, having so fond of affection for you that we are pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. So you think about that God came into our lives and worked with us to mold us into the position, into the ever-growing position that we're in, really, right? Because it isn't like today's June 6, 2016, right? I'm exactly where I need to be. That's not the case. I'm not 40 yet, but I probably, you know, in my mind, you know, I have so much growth ahead of me personally. And I think that if we all really looked inside of ourselves, we could map out the avenues to know that this is an ongoing process of growth. You know, so the mentors are growing, the mentees are growing, you know, everyone's growing, and it's a daily thing. So we got to keep that in perspective. But the thing that we do have to point out is our testimony. You know, here is where I was struggling for so long until finally I was in a position to be slowed down enough to really take consideration to the gospel of Jesus Christ, come into my life and then actually change the way that I view things, right? Amen? And then to slowly, step by step, month by month, week by week, look back and say, man, I'm not where I want to be, but I can't believe where I am today. You know, look at what God has done in my life. And if you hear the testimonies go around the table, you hear that every week. You know, babies in Christ. You know, old timers, right? in faith. You could be, you know, young at heart, but don't look at me like that. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to the wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. But Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of an understanding will acquire wise counsel. So, I mean, there's direction out there. You know, I want to look closely at this. You know, I have to ask myself, one of the fruits that we talk about in the Word is being teachable. Being teachable, right? Are you a teachable person to this day? You know, that's what I have to ask myself. Am I still teachable? And can you sway me at this point so that I would be open to learning? If it is conducive to spirituality, then I should be. Or am I closed-minded right now? Because I remember many years that you could tell me anything you wanted to tell me, and I'll smile straight in your face and tell you, oh yeah, absolutely, walk away, psh, he's nuts. Right? No, you're not going to tell me nothing I don't already know. Being teachable is important in our faith, having understanding. And it says that a very wise man increases understanding with wise counsel. Well, where does that come from? In John 14, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, the Greek word is parakletos, which is technically the one called alongside to help. And when you think about the Holy Spirit, and what he's saying here is that my Spirit will be with you, my Spirit will be in you to give you the strength to succeed. I will bring to remembrance in your own, which thank God for that. As I cannot remember what we ate just 5 minutes ago. But the Holy Spirit can bring to mind verses and revelations of things that I've never studied before. Why? Because He's God. Amen? That's a helper. That's where you put your faith. That's where you stack your deck. Amen? You're going to put your faith somewhere that you can pay off. I'm going to put my faith in something that I know can benefit me. And the Lord says, not only will I do that, but I will go with you. I will help you. I will carry you. We got to think about that. But see, 1 Corinthians, hold on a minute. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise men will be wise. We just talked about that, right? Well, what's the flip side? But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Can somebody tell me why that is? Why will the companion of fools suffer harm? Anybody? Think of an idea as to why that may occur. Nobody? Have I lost complete interest in what I'm talking about? Hang around fools, you do foolish things. Right. I was minding my own business. I was over at my buddy's house and 15 people come running in the door. And next thing you know, I had no control over what was going on. And that's how I ended up here eating noodle cups. Right? I had no intentions on doing any of this. I got 16 felonies. Right, I just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. But I happened to have the decision at 9 a.m. to choose where I wanted to go that day. Amen? Yes or no? Right? But I drove over to where I shouldn't be just to see if that's where I needed to be. And I ended up where I definitely didn't want to be. Can anybody relate to that? Right? So he says here in Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise man will be wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. And we're going to get a little bit farther in that. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Another verse is good judgment. So here's the deal. If I have been through so much time in my life and I'm at the point where I'm truly looking at a new avenue of change, why would I then choose to put myself in a direction that would be conducive to stop that change or to inhibit that change, right? He says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good judgment. But I continue to hang around with the same friends I always hung around, do the same things I always done, and I just expect different results. I expect that this time I can be in the same place. I'm good. You're not going to get me. But see what Brandon said. Brandon said, man, they're calling me. They're talking crazy. I had to stay away from that. Thank God the Spirit worked in him today to say, hey, I'm not going to go down that road and end up where I'm not going to hit it. I'm just going to pass it to him and I'm just going to do whatever I got to do. Or, you know, it's all good. But then I'm in the midst of all that persuasion. You can't tell me I haven't been in the midst of persuasion. I know the minute when I got out, what are you going to do? Let's celebrate. You're home. Let's celebrate. What's celebrate mean? Let's get locked back up. Right? Think about it. For one second, we're going to celebrate. Celebrate. I am celebrating. I got a baby in my hands. I seen him. I seen pictures of him for 6 years. I'm celebrating by giving him macaroni now. Amen? Think about it. That's how I'm celebrating. I'm cooking steaks. Right? That's a celebration to me. I can't be confused. You see, the thing is it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not your friend or that I don't love you. It just means that you have to understand that if you love me, I can't come. I can't be there. I can't go there. Amen? Because God is working in my life and I can still choose today to stop Him. Yes or no? Yes. I'll think about this. Proverbs 27:3 says, know well the condition of your flock and pay attention to your herds. So, what's he talking to? Two different people. Know well the condition of your flock. That's what he's talking about, 15:33. Don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Who am I surrounded by? What am I putting myself around? What am I subjecting myself to? What's the condition of my flock? Who are my people? Where am I spending my time? I need to be aware of that. But then on the other hand, he comes back and says, and pay attention to your herds. Who's he talking to? Mentors, pastors, chaplains. Amen? Pay attention to your herds. Is it, you got people failing right now. Did you call them this week? Amen? Who's got your back? Do you got their back? Right? I mean, it's tenfold. No matter who we are or where we are, we're all in this together. It doesn't matter. And we have to be aware of this and understand that in unity, if I fall, you fall. If you lose, I lose. If you hurt, I hurt. If you win, we win. Amen? That's unity. Unity is not, oh, well, you shouldn't have heard what happened to him the other day, man. I rolled the window up and kept on rolling. Right? Right? Oh, I'm not going to sit in the front row with that dude sitting there. I don't know what he's going to say to me or whatever. I had a pastor of, 20-some years. You know what he did to his congregation? He dressed up like a really, really rough and rugged-looking dude and sat right in the front of the congregation. None of the congregation invited him. None of the congregation talked to him. Nobody welcomed him. Nobody shook his hand. Nobody talked to him about Jesus Christ. But guess what? He was the pastor. And that was his flock. And he got up on there and took his mustache and his hat, his dirt off, sprayed some water on his face, looked at him, and boy, it was quiet for the rest of the day in there. Right? Right? But you think of the condition of the people that you're putting yourself around and test each other, because that's the truth. I don't want you to tell me what I want to hear. I want to see what I want to see. I'd rather you tell me bad news than lie to me. Amen? Think about it. So he says in Hebrews, remember those who led you and spoke to the word of God in you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. So if somebody in your life, and I specifically remember the man a long time ago that reached in and touched me, he was weird. I was locked up. I don't go too deep into this conversation. We have a lot of time. But he would always come in and grab me in the shoulder. I'm going to pray for you. I'm locked up. Around everybody, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. But I didn't want him to touch me. He kept touching me. It was Gene Depper. And he kept this little tiny guy. He had a heart of gold. You couldn't tell him no. He was about a foot and a half tall. And I just looked down there. And he reached up and he grabbed me on the shoulder. He said, I'm going to pray for you. When he grabbed me, I couldn't get away. I couldn't get away. And he prayed on me right from him. The whole jail sat there and stared at me the whole time while this guy's praying on me. 3 weeks, here he comes again. He's going to pray on me. He prayed on me. You know what? After 4 years, one day I woke up. I didn't curse anymore. One day I woke up, I started reading biblical studies. One day I woke up, I was interested in the Bible. One day I woke up, my relationship with my mother was repaired. And this dude kept praying on me. Rough and ruggedest dude you'd ever run into in the system back in the day. But he wouldn't let go of me. He kept praying. And you think about the power of this when you think about it. So if you have a gentleman that spoke the word of God into you, consider the result of their conduct and imitate their faith. Amen? If there's a man today that affected you, then stand up for that man by continuing the calling. Because the calling is only continuing to share the word. Take up his place. Take up his cross. Continue to share that word. Amen. That's how you thank that gentleman. Now, in Matthew 24, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Now, there's a couple things I really like to point out. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who does that not include? Like, what? Who can we cut out now? Who can we not include in this? Is there anybody? Maybe, or maybe he's saying that God is for everybody and anybody. And that no matter who you are, where you've been, or what you're from, that is exactly who we need to reach. That there's no qualification. That you don't have to dress up. You don't have to put on your Sunday best. You don't have to talk special, have a bunch of money, have food, no food, have a house, have a job. Whoever you are, the gospel is for you. Amen? Amen. That's all the nations. It's for anybody. He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the age." Where we're talking about Parakletos, right? The one called alongside to help. In Psalm 71:18, he said, "And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, for your power to all to come." Now, I got an example of a gentleman here that I want to talk about in the scripture. And Moses, Exodus 18:17, small little cutout here. It says, "Moses, father-in-law, said to him, 'The thing that you are doing is not good. You will surely wear out, both you yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. You will be the people's representative before God, and you will bring the disputes to God. Then teach them statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which you are to walk and what they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. You shall place over them as leaders thousands of hundreds and fifties and tens. Let them judge the people all the times, and let them be every major dispute that we will bring to you, and every minor dispute they will bring to the judge, so that it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden on you. For if you do this thing that God commands you, then you'll be able to endure. All these people will go forth in their place in peace." So Moses listened to his father-in-law, and did all that he said. It says, "Moses chose able men of Israel and put them heads over the people, the leaders of thousands, hundreds, and fifties, and tens. And they judged the people all the times of difficult dispute that would bring Moses to every minimal dispute themselves that they would judge. Then Moses bade his father goodwill and went on his own land." Now I want to talk about this for 1 minute. What happened was Moses is leading tens of thousands of people who are most commonly disgruntled, right? They're having lots of issues, but every single one of them's bringing to him the trouble. Moses was a chosen man of God. He was already a chosen man of God. He was already a leader. He was already in place. But guess what Moses needed? Moses needed a mentor. Moses needed counseling. Moses needed direction. Now I want to ask you one question here before we go too much farther than that. A mentor is a friend who guides a less experienced person by building trust and modeling the positive behaviors. An effective mentor understands his role and is dependable, engaged, authentic, and tuned into the mentee. Now, I want to talk about this for 1 second. Why didn't God just tell Moses what to do? If Moses needed an answer, why didn't God just tell him what it was? Why do you suppose that is?
He wanted him to find it on his own.
That's right. He does. He did want him to find it on his own. And he wanted to find it through the body of Christ in unity. Because God always turns it to ourselves. What is the greatest command? When did Jesus sum up the commandments? Who can tell me that verse? He said, "The greatest commandment is this." What did he say? Anybody?
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart,
with all your mind and with all your strength, and then what?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
So the true key and the authenticity of all of our faith is simply only to love God first and love every single other as ourselves. So if God is consistently providing every direction of every single thing that we can do, then we're not functioning in unity. So there's a lot of times in our lives where we absolutely need to humble ourselves and reach out to one another for help and strength. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of guys in here that need a mentor that could work with them and change their life on a daily basis. There's mentors in here that may need a mentor. There's mentees in here that may need a mentor. Moses, the man of God, chosen by God to lead God's people, needed a mentor. Amen? You think about this for one second. You know, another thing I want to point out is what can a mentor do for you today? You know, what is mentoring? Mentoring, what we want to do is sit down and spend time with an individual on a one-on-one basis and say, what are your goals? How are you going to achieve them? How can a mentor assist you with achieving these goals? But the deal is we need you to volunteer. We need you to say to yourself that I am not so full of pride that I am willing to accept assistance in my life. Right? And I know that Moses had to do that. I know that I had to do that. Amen? I know how many of these guys have had mentors in their lifetime in different things. I have a mentor at work right now. Amen? You know, it's all different fields and categories, and you know, that's really why we're here. And you think about this, I want to say, you know, what are your current struggles? You know, who's teaming up with you to face your issues today? And if Moses needed direction, you can't tell me that we don't need direction. Amen? He says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in his learning. And that's what we're here to do. That's what mentoring is about. And that's all I have for today. Amen? So are we going to open up to anything you guys may want to share at this point? And be happy to do so.
You know, guys, one of the things I would share with you, Ben mentioned, talked about this little guy that wouldn't let it go, Dr. Zell, and this guy...